All right. Well, like Eric said, my name is Alyssa Barr, and I am from the University of North Florida. I just wanted to recognize Michelle Moore and Tammy Johnson, also at the University of North Florida, and we teach in the Department of Public Health. Michelle and I do a lot of work with our Florida Department of Education, really looking at support for sex ed in the schools to drive advocacy and policy change at the state level. So that's where a lot of our efforts are focused. And I have no relationships to disclose, financial or otherwise. And just a quick, introduction or some background information about Florida. As Eric pointed out, we have the YRBS weighted data throughout Florida. And here's just some highlights that I wanted to share with you. 37% of ninth graders have had sex. 63% of 12th graders have had sex. And I don't know if this is pre or post-prom. That might change things a little while, or a little bit for our 12th graders. Over half have had oral sex. 22% of our 12th graders have had sex with four or more partners, and I consider all of our young people high risk, but this group specifically high risk here. And 12% of males and 4% of females have had sex for the first time before age 13. And what grade are you in when you're 13? Eighth grade, seventh grade for some, so that's middle school, okay? All right, so definitely a need does exist. And one interesting thing, a side note, there are three or four counties in Florida who've currently collected middle school YRBS data. We just got our hands on that and are looking at some of it, and it's just mind-blowing, the sexual activity among our middle school kids. So another reason for the need, we talked about the behaviors. Here's some of the outcomes from those behaviors. And that picture on the right is from the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy in 2007. But one in three teens in the U.S. will be pregnant at least once by age 19. Approximately half will contract an STD by age 25. And in Florida specifically, in 2007, we were number one in the nation for heterosexual transmission of HIV. And unfortunately, we lead industrialized countries in unplanned or teen pregnancy, birth, and abortion rates. We are number one, so not something to be proud of. In Florida, we recognize four different types of sexuality education. So we know that there's this need. We have these sexually active young people. The outcomes are not great. There are one way to address that is through school-based sexuality education. And I do want to stress, this is necessary, but it's not a means to an end. It is a piece in the puzzle of other things that are needed. But here's the four different types, and you may have heard of them or been familiar with, you know, abstinence only until marriage, probably the most conservative, abstinence only, abstinence base, which includes abstinence but also includes information about contraception and birth control, and then comprehensive sex ed, which to my knowledge in the U.S., there are schools who come close to doing this, but not true comprehensive sex ed, like in some countries in Europe, where it is actually K through 12 sex ed that is age appropriate. Everything in kindergarten from good touch, bad touch, where to go, you know, if you need help, how to be a good family member, a good friend, all the way through high school with some more in-depth information. So what are we doing in Florida? You know, it's interesting, Florida requires us to teach sex education in our public schools. It is required. We have something called our Florida Sunshine Standards, and within those we have these state statutes that specify in all of our content what needs to be taught. And we have some that support teaching health education to include HIV, STDs, and teen pregnancy under family life, personal health, and the prevention and control of disease. And then one state statute that is specific to HIV, but guess what? They don't tell us what to say in that. There's that local control. So each county can decide, how do we want to teach this? How much sex education do we want our young people to receive? And when we look at what is being received in Florida, Dr. Brian Dodge, who is now at Indiana University, he and some colleagues at University of Florida a few years back looked at the entire state to find out what is going on in those classrooms. And in summary, he found that there's not much going on. There's little uniformity, no consistency in what's being taught. It's usually late in their career, so it's not being offered early enough. So that's what he learned there. And in general, many of us would probably agree with these. This is what we know about why it's not being taught, right? Inadequate teacher preparation. We don't require those in school who teach sex education to actually even have a sex education class, which blows my mind. So lack of knowledge and or comfort, that's a big one with both teachers and parents, as we all know. The curricula is lacking sequence and age-appropriate content, although there's some pretty good curricula out there now. Inadequate time, standardized testing is a big one. We have something in Florida called the FCAP. And just a few years back, the DOE finally added a question on HIV. So now, guess what teachers are really teaching in their classes? HIV, so they'll answer that question correctly, and I believe it's on transmission. Absence of school administrative support and absence of or deficiencies in evaluation. The one I want to focus on is this perceived lack of parental support. And notice the word perceived in there, because overall we do know it's very supported. There have been numerous state and national studies done to show support for sex ed in the school. Really supporting Abstinence Plus, again, which is focusing on abstinence for young people, but also including information on contraception as a means to prevent disease and unplanned pregnancy, and comprehensive sex ed. So high support for that. And this is another one, how not to do a PowerPoint presentation right here. But four studies, the first one being the NPR study, which is a national study in 05 that showed the majority of parents supported Abstinence Plus and contraception. And then Michelle Moore and I did a small study. It was only about 650 residents in Florida. It was a pilot study, a question we got to add on to a telephone survey UNF was doing, asking people, you know, of these three types of sex ed, we described them, which one do you support? Overwhelming support for, again, abstinence-based and comprehensive. 11% did say abstinence only, and about 11% were unknown. And then more recently, 2011, this study just came out again with Michelle Moore and Josie Wise and another person at UF, Odessa Jobley, where we looked at St. Lucie County. Has anyone heard about St. Lucie County and what's going on there? National recognition, 1 in 35 African Americans are HIV positive or have AIDS in St. Lucie County. So Eric pointed out that we're number 2 in the United States. Well, in Florida, our number 2 state of all states in the United States, St. Lucie County is number 1. So just epidemic rates of HIV and AIDS specifically addressing or affecting the African American population. So we've done some work with them, parent trainings, and one thing that came out of this particular study, speaking of policy change, is that they were teaching an abstinence-only curriculum. They've recently implemented Get Real About AIDS in grades 4 through 12, which is more abstinence-based. So local efforts to really make change. So I just really want to point out that local data, local information about your residents can really drive policy changes and changing in a curriculum or a program. So I'm a huge advocate for that. And then other numerous studies, all from California, New Mexico, Minnesota, and beyond, showing that parents really do support it. So again, we have this perceived belief that parents aren't in favor of it. And I love some of the comments from some of our other speakers about, you know, the parents kind of get away from having to do it. They get out of it. They can let the teachers do it. And that's true. So the purpose of this study was to assess parental support in a more in-depth effort, looking specifically at elementary, middle school, and high school. There's a plethora of information out there that supports it at the middle school and the high school level, but not much, if anything, that we could find in elementary school. So this was one of the first to look at that or to do that. Okay, so our methods. We used two sets of survey data and combined it. The first one that we used was the BRFSS, the Florida Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. And thank you to the Department of Education for working with us and letting us use this data. So we used data from 2 years, 09 and 08, and we combined it. And just to kind of step ahead, of those adults who completed the BRFSS, we also asked them, could we call you back and talk about your child or your children? So if they answered in the BRFSS that yes, they had children, we then asked, can we call you back later for a follow-up study? And that's how we got the findings for this in particular study here. So just some background, the BRFSS is an ongoing cross-sectional population-based telephone survey of those 18 and older, randomly selected. The third bullet, the BRFSS elicits information on a variety of health information. Socioeconomic data are collected as well, demographics. And then the fourth bullet, the data are collected monthly through telephone interviews and aggregated and weighted annually by the CDC. And then again, adults 18 and older are randomly selected from their households. So we had approximately 23,000 respondents for those 2 years, from 2008 and 2009 combined. They were asked again, bullet number 2, if they had children less than 18 living in the home with them, and if they agreed to be contacted again for a follow-up survey. Those who responded yes to both questions were then eligible for the CHS, the Child Health Survey. And so the CHS collects information on a variety of health topics, but for these few years we added some information or some questions specifically on sex education in the schools. So for the 2 years combined, 08 and 09, we had 1,715 participants who also participated in the CHS combined. So our total sample size was right over 1,700. So some of the methods on the survey, some of the things I will just share with you, three sets of questions because there's a ton of questions on there, but we were interested in number one, would you allow your child to participate in grade level appropriate sex ed? Yes or no, very simple. The next question, which kind of human sexuality education or prevention would you most likely to support if your child or children, you know, in their particular school? Abstinence plus, it was defined. Abstinence only, it was defined. Comprehensive, that was defined as well. And then, obviously, we didn't read this, but if they answered don't know, not sure, they marked that as well. So those are the methods. Now, more specifically here, they looked at questions on specific content, and this is where it gets exciting for me, because they asked the parents, people who are making the calls randomly selected one of the children in the home. So let's say they had three children in the home. The caller had a system where they would randomly select one child and say to the parent, now these next few questions are going to be specifically about this one child. So we made sure that we had males and female children they were responding for, elementary, middle, and high school. So there was enough data. So the questions at the top here, I'm going to read you a list of topics that may be taught in a human sexuality class. For each topic, please tell me yes or no whether you would be in favor of your child learning about these topics in elementary school. So they include communication skills, and those were described in the survey, human anatomy and reproductive information, HIV and sexually transmitted infections, abstinence from sexual activity, gender and sexual orientation issues, and then none of these, don't know, not sure, or if they refuse. So those are the contents asked specifically for elementary school. And then for middle school and high school, communication again, anatomy, HIV, STDs, abstinence. They included birth control and condom use. I would have loved to have that on the elementary school as well, but I don't think that would have gotten included. Gender and sexual orientation. And so the data was analyzed. It was weighted, and it was used SAS, version 9.2. Post estimates and 95% confidence intervals were calculated using Sudan. Frequencies were calculated for parent demographics and the support of sex education and each topic specifically. Chi-squares were conducted to test for statistical significance between the parent demographics, each type of sex ed, and then all the different grade level topics. And then statistically significant associations and or rate differences have a p-value less than or equal to 0.05. So what did we find? Here's the survey. I'm just going to step out here for a second. This top number shows the total who responded, and what's most important are the percent. So you can see a few more females than males, a few more whites. Here's black and Hispanic. The age groups, 30 to 50 was the highest age group there. Education. Not a high school degree, some high school. This included high school and some college, and then a four-year degree. Were they married or cohabitating? So two people in the home or just one. And then did they support their child in the home? We had males and females equally represented. And then the support for sex ed, the majority said yes. And when we broke it down by type, 23% said abstinence only, 36% abstinence plus, and 40% comprehensive. So pretty supportive in general of would they want sex education taught. Now when we asked them, you know, by elementary, middle, and high school, you can see communication, 89% in elementary school, things that we would pretty much guess that they would include in elementary school, but gender issues, 52%. That was interesting for us. We were pleased to see that. So just some percents there. And then some statistically significant differences by gender. Males were more likely than females to support abstinence only. Females were more likely to support these topics here. MS is for middle school and HS is for high school. So anatomy, HIV, birth control for both middle and high, and then condoms for both middle and high, so the moms. Okay. And then by race, black and Hispanics were more likely than whites to support HIV in elementary school and gender issues. So the first number, 61%, is for black, 59% Hispanic, and 47% for white. And then not married and cohabitating, they were actually more likely than married or cohabitating couples to support birth control, gender issues as well in elementary and middle school. So those with less than a high school education were significantly more likely to support sex education. This was surprising for us because usually it's the opposite. The more education, the more likely you are to support. But it wasn't that case with the study. So in conclusion, I know I have 30 seconds, the results add to the support for age-appropriate sex ed. The findings are similar to other studies. The majority, 3 out of 4, support teaching abstinence plus or comprehensive, and there was wide support for all sexuality topics at all 3 levels. Females, finally, more likely to support than males. So an irony here I have to share with you. The majority support teaching both abstinence and condoms. Teaching both is consistent with their behavior. Some are abstinent, some are not. And the research consistently documents that teaching both abstinence and condoms and contraception is effective in reducing their behaviors and negative outcomes. Yet in Florida, it varies widely. We have little class time afforded to it, and it doesn't reach all students. This document here evolved from some of this work. It's a toolkit for parents, teachers to use, and it talks about how do we improve sexuality education in our communities. And for more information, you can contact me there. Okay, thank you.